Disney-klassiekers. Do you speak Disney? Elke aflevering bespreekt Robin Broos een Disney-film samen met zijn centrale gast.
Welkom in aflevering 120 van Disney-klassiekers, die ik vandaag uitzonderlijk in het Engels ga doen. I will do this podcast in English. My guest, she's called Sylvia Sun. She's not from Belgium, but she's from China.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, hello. So I came to Belgium on a very short travel back in the beginning of 2020, just to see the country. And then the pandemic hit us. So I was stuck here for 5 months because there was no flight to exit Belgium. But during my time here, I felt like the people are so friendly and also found a very good educational program. So I came back 2 years ago to start my second master's degree here.
But you do have a Belgian boyfriend, so it's not like a weird link or a weird place to be.
No, it's definitely not. And because I already know someone here and his family are also kind of my family now, so Belgium feels like a very nice place to me for now.
Yeah. Do you like it here?
Yes. Not so much in the winter because it gets pretty dark. It's a very special experience. Besides Christmas, obviously, that's amazing. But other times of the year, it feels very nice.
Things like Christmas, I've been to Asia quite a lot, and I know they try to celebrate it because it's just fun and warm and all the lights. But is it like a thing?
Actually, it's a very localized thing. For example, where I'm from, I'm originally from Beijing, China. And when I was growing up, we would always celebrate Christmas, but we eat apples. It's called the Night of Safety because how the Silent Night is translated in Chinese. So it became like a very China version of how we celebrate Christmas. But it's pretty much the same. If you tell someone who is originally from, let's say, a Western country with the real Christmas traditions, you're going to think we're crazy because Japanese people eat KFC, they eat cake for Christmas, and Chinese people eat apple.
Okay, but they do celebrate
some things, yes. Yeah. Not so much related to Christmas, but with the name of Christmas.
Yeah, and not related to religion just a holiday.
Just a holiday. We just want to have fun.
Yeah, yes. Like Halloween.
Yes, that as well. Just candy.
It wasn't a thing in Belgium too, and then suddenly it came from the US and everyone's doing it.
Last year I was also here, and then there were some kids dressing up and asking for candies, and we were like, wow, this is amazing, but we didn't prepare anything because we didn't know it's a thing. So we just took whatever we had, some candy.
Apples.
Apples, yes, healthy. Carrots.
But did you grow up with like Western films or Western, pop culture?
I think starting from the age of 12 or 13, when I was really trying to learn English on my own, I started looking for American films and different TV shows that I could find. Back then it was Friends. And then I started getting in touch with American pop culture.
Most guests in this podcast, they do tell me that they grew up with something like Disney. They all have their favorite Disney film. They've been to some kind of Disneyland around the world. Is it something you can relate to, or did it just came into your life when you were looking for this American culture?
I think Disney princesses were definitely like a huge part of my childhood when I was growing up, and it's very popular in China. A lot of little girls want to dress up like Elsa, and back in my days, it was like Snow White, and that was my favorite, Little Mermaid. But I wasn't really thinking that Disney on its own was a very, very important part of my life, because I just felt like, oh, these were the princesses, and then they existed somewhere in the world. But I wasn't really aware of Disney as a production company on its own.
And did you see the films, or it was just like you want to look like these characters, these fictional characters?
At first, it was definitely because of the characters, because it was everywhere. Unlike children's books were different products like backpacks and on your pencil cases. I was like, oh, what is that? She looks so beautiful. She's a princess. And then when I was already in primary school, we started to watch those films.
Mm-hmm.
Because my parents also don't speak English, so they didn't know about the film. So I had to watch it after I was already in school with other friends.
But your parents, they are active in the cultural field. Your father is a writer.
Yeah.
So they must have been familiar with these kind of tales and these kind of films.
Yes, my dad, definitely. He intentionally shows me different films every year. He would tell me, oh, this one got an Oscar. This one was nominated. This one is from Disney. You need to watch this. But I think back then I was way too young to know how to appreciate a lot of the things. So I felt like, oh, my dad is giving me assignment. Mm-hmm. Because I remember he showed me Harry Potter when I was really young, and I was very upset because he said, oh, watch this, you can learn English. This is very good storytelling, and I just wanted to go out and play, so I didn't want to watch it.
It's like the other way around. I remember as a child we were not forced, but like my father told us, this is a very good movie, and then we had to watch it. And of course, it was a very good movie, but those aren't the things you want to see as a child.
Yeah, definitely not. Children wants to make their own choices sometimes, especially me as a child. I was pretty stubborn, so it took a while.
Because of that, I saw lots of Asian movies when I was growing up. So it has a good part as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I used to find it boring, but today I think it's very, very nice.
Yeah, that kind of makes us what we are these days, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And that's why I still love like all these mostly South Korean movies that are coming to the West today, because there's a huge
wave.
Of course, in China there are lots of films too, but they don't.
No, not really. They don't really come here. And I think last week or 2 weeks ago, we had a festival in Hint about Chinese culture, and they were showing some good Chinese movies. So I didn't go, but I was looking at their advertisement. But the movies were from years ago. So the movies were from when I was still back in China. So that was like 6-7 years ago. It was popular. So the currently popular movies are not really making their way here.
And do you have any idea why?
Yeah, like why is happening? I think from my standpoint, I think we have a huge problem with translation. Mm-hmm. Because I was an English major student back in China. And I could see how a lot of the names, a lot of the stories, and the cultural value is not really properly translated. So for a Western audience, you will look at a concept and be like, what is this movie talking about? I don't understand why people make these type of choices. It's very strange. Then you will feel less likely to want to know more about the story and to finish the entire film. So I completely understand that.
And also the other way around, not many Western films make it to the Chinese markets because there are limits.
Yes, because of the limits and because, for example, a very simple idea of what is fun. In a Western movie, maybe we go out to grab a drink. If it's a Belgian movie, we go and sit on the terrace, we enjoy the sun. And if you show that to a Chinese audience, they're going to be like, what are you doing? Why are you just sitting there? Why don't you go to the mall? Why don't you enjoy the nightlife, like go to a night market? Then those cultural routines are lost in translation. Then it makes it very difficult for people to appreciate the stories behind it.
We are going to talk about Mulan today, the remake of the Disney Mulan, because Mulan, of course, is a traditional Chinese story.
Yes.
But had you seen the animated movie from the 90s?
Yes, I have seen that. I've actually seen that in school, in English classes. Yes, they would show us those movies for us to be more interested in the stories.
And did you like it as a child?
Yes, I loved it because I loved the song. In the Mulan movie, we actually started watching it in Chinese at first because, you know, like the Mulan story is originally from a Chinese poetry. Mm-hmm. So we were learning that in Chinese classes and they're like, oh, do you know the American company made a cartoon version of Mulan? So if you really know the entire story of Mulan, it's much easier for you to memorize the poetry because we actually need to memorize the traditional Chinese poetry. It's very difficult. So we watched that. And then in English classes, our teacher said, oh, listen to the song Reflection. Listen to how they tell the Chinese story. So we actually watched it quite a lot of times. And many of us really liked the little dragon in the story. That was really cute. Yeah.
Mushu,
yeah.
Because when I was digging into the story of Mulan and also the origin of this animated movie, I found some issues. Like, mostly you read that the animated film wasn't that popular in China because of many reasons. And one of the reasons was Mushu, the dragon, because of course it's a very important cultural thing.
Yeah.
And if you make it into a funny character, it can be strange.
Yeah, it can be a bit of a problem because we Chinese people do call ourselves the descendant of dragon. So in our head, dragon is a very secret, amazing creature, and it's huge, it's scary in a sense, because our ancient kings used to see themselves as the true sense of dragons. So if you ask me to picture a dragon, I'm thinking of some golden, really long, scary-looking thing floating on the sky. And Mushu was like a little elf standing next to Mulan. It's very cute. It's very interesting. But I can see why some people will feel a little offended that it's portrayed in the way that it is.
That's why it surprises me that you saw this film in school.
Yeah, we see that in school, actually. The opinion in China is also very diversified. But maybe the voices that do get translated by the media and by the people from a different country are pretty centralized. And that's the problem that we do need to deal with because of the language barrier.
Mm-hmm. And maybe because you grew up in a big city, a city that's larger than this country.
Yes, that is true.
Maybe it's just more liberal than we can imagine here.
Yes, I think so, because all different people from China will go to that city, and everybody from different cities of the world will also want to visit Beijing one day. It's very famous, so you also bring a lot of different perspectives into the process of me growing up, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
And when you compare it to people growing up on the countryside, I can imagine it's harder there to see a film like Mulan in school.
Yeah, I would think so.
I once talked to a professor at KU Leuven, mm-hmm. a professor of modern Chinese, and she told me that the character Mulan in the animated movie was considered an ugly character for the Chinese.
Yes. So that is a very huge difference between our beauty standard. For example, whenever someone from Belgium compliments me on my look, I will feel a little insecure. Because we have a saying in China that Westerners love ugly Asian women. The features like the up-pointing eyes and very high cheekbones, flat noses, I'm basically describing myself, but those are the things that people would consider to be less beautiful in China. Also like sharp bone structure, that's also considered a little unlucky in certain areas. They think that women with high cheekbone will curse their husbands to death. Yes. But that's not like a very general idea, but in some areas of China, they do look at it and then they think, oh, it's not a very lucky look. So the character Mulan in the animated movie, it was a bit like that. Even though in my opinion, she's beautiful, but for some people, it's like, why? Why do you have to draw Chinese people like that? Are you trying to play with the stereotypes that we have smaller eyes and we have to look like that? And that's where the negative comments will come from.
You loved the character Mulan in the animated film, but even then, when you were a child, you wanted to be a princess like Snow White and not Mulan.
Yeah, not Mulan.
Because she's not Asian.
I actually really loved how the other princesses had pretty dresses. Yes, and Mulan just looked like, you know, one of us, but back in the day. So I was like, oh, I want those princess dresses, so maybe Snow White would be the one to go.
And I think that's why, the reason Disney did this remake is because China is, let's face it, a very important market for Hollywood. So Disney wants to have
appeal
a piece
to the market.
Have a piece of the cake, and they tried to infiltrate the culture with a distinguished Disneyland in Shanghai, and then this film came, and of course they wanted to be true to the Chinese tradition, and that's why they had an Asian cast, why they got rid of Mushu, and so on. Did you feel like they had to do this remake?
I personally don't think it was 100% necessary, although I really appreciate how they chose the main characters, because the lady who played Mulan in the new movie, Liu Yifei, she is one of the most famous actresses when I was growing up, and we called her Sister Godness. That is her nickname in China because she's so beautiful, and then she was very popular when she was still a teenager. So she started acting very early on. She's very experienced. I felt like they did an amazing job with the casting. But that's the only point that got me interested in the movie. I just wanted to see how she would play Mulan. But besides that, I felt like, oh, I already know the story of Mulan. I know exactly what's going to happen. I know you're probably going to add in some new elements. And I wasn't 100% excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because she was and she still is a very important actress.
Yes.
I saw on the internet that at the moment she's playing in different television series.
Yes.
So these are things that we don't get to see here, but she still is a big deal.
Very big deal, yes.
In China. But at the same time, she's very good in English. So I think that was the main reason for Disney to have someone that's...
Yes, I think so. I think she grew up for a while in America when she was younger.
Which explains a lot.
Yes, yeah. Because she speaks perfect English. And I also saw audition tapes from when she was trying for the role of Mulan, and it was perfect. It was just beautiful.
And I read that for that audition, she went to the studio and she got off the plane. So it's like a 12-hour flight.
Exactly.
And then she went straight to the studio to do
still
this audition.
So good.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she's a very great actress.
And they saw like 1,000 women
yes.
to play this role.
Yeah.
But I can imagine that Disney, they just wanted the best.
Yeah, of course. That's understandable, especially for such a big movie. Mulan is already so famous as a story on its own. Mm-hmm. That you need someone right to play the role.
Because since Mulan is an original traditional story and like poem, what are the reactions in China that they adjusted some of the narrative of it? Not only the little dragon, but
yeah.
also the narrative.
So I have seen a lot of very negative comments about that. And personally, I understand where they're coming from. And I was actually talking to someone about this. I said, I'm a little disappointed that many of the cast members are actual Chinese. So they speak Chinese, they understand the culture because they grew up with the culture. How would you allow someone to give you such a big misinterpretation of your own culture? The idea, for example, from the beginning of the film, they started talking about qi. Like, women can also have qi, but what do you do with it? Boys are the ones who are supposed to have qi. I understand that they were trying to paint the picture that the gender roles are really distinct. Especially in ancient China, it's very, very different. You need to face the reality. And that's why Mulan had to face so many difficulties mm-hmm. when she was trying to be a soldier for her father to defend the country. I understand that. But qi literally translate into breath. So what they're saying in the film is that women cannot breathe. Women are not supposed to have a breath. So for someone who speaks both Mandarin Chinese and English, in my head, it translated into the woman doesn't have qi anymore. It means she has passed away.
Which is quite odd, yeah.
Yes, it was quite odd. I understand what they're trying to say. They're trying to add in this new element for the character of Mulan. But this particular element that they chose was a little confusing for someone who is, let's say, Chinese. Because if you ask me to translate a movie from English to Chinese, I will be shocked. I don't know how I can translate qi back to my Chinese audience. Because mm-hmm. for them, oh, would you want Mulan to pass out? Is that what you were saying? Like, she's not supposed to breathe. That's a bit odd, in my opinion. Yeah,
yeah, and certainly when there are so many people in the cast that didn't,
they didn't
go to the director to ask for changes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if it's for me, I'll ask them, do you understand what qi is? Because I understand, sure, you're talking about this force within your body, and they were trying to make Mulan seem like she was born with this talent to be special at the end of the day. But is qi actually the best option that we should go for? Because all of us need qi to survive, you know?
Yeah. What could have been a solution for this issue?
Well, I feel like I understand that they were trying to appeal to the nature elements that are related to Chinese culture. But even something as simple as power, as courage, just use the word courage, that she has a bigger heart, that she has more courage and she has more love for her family and for her country, would be a better description than qi, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the main problem with this remake is that they wanted, just for the face of it, they wanted an all-Asian cast, which is fine, but then they had a Western director.
Yeah, I have also heard some remarks about that. People say that a lot of the writers and the directors, they don't personally understand the essence of the Mulan story. This whole idea of qi and adding in this special element of how Mulan is born to be different actually defeats the purpose of the original story of Mulan. She is just like anybody else. She's just a little girl. She was at home making clothes and doing all the feminine chores when she heard about the news that her father needs to go and fight for the country. And that's when she decided, made a very difficult decision, that she was going to leave home. She was going to say her final goodbye. She was going to die on behalf of her father. But in the news story, Mulan is just like any of those special superheroes. She's born with it. Then what is the difference between her and any regular people? Oh, she's born to be different. Then are we not supposed to have her courage?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of takes away from the original story, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, the explanation from the Disney side was we definitely wanted a female director because it's a female-driven story.
Yeah.
Can you relate to that?
Well, see, this is something that I really wanted to study back in the days because I did my second master's degree in gender study. And I've noticed that in many of the Western discourse, people really care about gender. They really care about choosing the female cast, the female director, female writer. But being a female or identifying as a female doesn't necessarily guarantee you to have the position to tell a correct story from a woman's perspective. Because Mulan is from a different cultural background. We're talking about a very different economic situation, traditions, different things like that. Then I understand why you want to tell the story from a woman's perspective, from the feminist side. But are you really telling the story from a Chinese feminist perspective, from a Chinese woman's eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Then the story, it just gets more and more complicated. And people can have different interpretations, definitely. But I don't think the director's gender should have been a huge consideration.
And on the other side, maybe even a Chinese man would have been better as a director.
Yes, in order to understand the story of Mulan, I think definitely. Someone's cultural background matters much more than gender in this case, in my opinion at least.
Several months before Mulan was released, because it got postponed because of COVID, I met the director, Nikki Caro, and she was very proud to tell that she was one of the first female directors for Disney, but also the first woman in Hollywood with such a big budget. And she was very proud to say that she didn't cross the budget. So she even delivered the film for less money than she got. And on time, which is also a thing in Hollywood.
Yes.
But I thought, yeah, you can say it now. And of course, that's very well done. But on the other side, that's not the point of this film, of course.
No, definitely not. Well, that would be very important if you are a project manager.
Yeah.
But for the process for creating art, you know, I'm fine with waiting for 2 more years for an amazing movie. I'm not saying that Mulan is not great, but I just don't think that's a criteria that we should use to judge directors.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the differences. So we already spoke about Mushu.
Yeah.
He got
Mushu. Yes.
But on the other side, we now have the phoenix.
Yes, the phoenix.
Yeah.
I was very confused when I saw the phoenix at first, because phoenix is also a very, very important symbol in the Chinese culture. So you all know that, oh, dragons are important, but dragons usually represent men. And phoenix usually represents women.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say the ancient king, the emperor, was the dragon, the queen, his only queen, would be the phoenix. Yeah. So I was very confused to see a random phoenix appearing when Mulan was there. And I was thinking, was she going to start dating the king? Like, why is the phoenix there? And then the phoenix animation was also very cute, I would say. It was a very well-done little phoenix, but it was small.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very small little phoenix. So I was thinking, was that supposed to represent her power, her courage, her virtues, or does it have any other meanings? So I felt like the phoenix was a replacement of Mushu in a way. But the phoenix could have been expanded into the story. Like, how is it actually going to help Mulan?
Mm-hmm.
And how is it an essential part of the story that I feel like could have been talked about more?
Mm-hmm. It already starts with a phoenix, a statue.
Yeah, at the door.
Yeah,
yes.
And she breaks it. In the animated movie, it was Mushu who broke the statue. Is there some kind of symbolic in that?
Oh, actually, I have personally never seen anyone using phoenix at a door. We always use lions. If you go to Chinatown in Antwerp, you can also see the two lions, one with a baby on his paw, the other one with a bowl. One is the man and the other one is the woman. They're playing. We always use those. as wooden decorations. So when I first saw the phoenix, I was very confused. I was like, oh, maybe Mulan's family in this story is just different. Maybe they have a different occupation. They're supposed to do something else. And they were also living in a very special cultural building, the round building that is usually from the Fujian province of China, which is very inaccurate because the story of Mulan happened hundreds of years before that building even existed. So I was just confused when I saw the phoenix and the building, and I thought, oh, maybe that would play a bigger part later in the story. But I didn't really see more explanation into it. Maybe they just wanted to create the sense of community, and the best way to do it is for everyone to live together in a round little building, and you can all support each other as a community. Maybe that's the consideration.
And she has this spectacular act on the rooftop.
Yes, oh my gosh, she was flying, Kung Fu master, actually.
But this was a young Mulan. It was a different different actress.
Yes.
Is she well known?
No, that I know of, but she's very amazing because I saw her acting and was like, wow, this girl can be an amazing actress in the future because she did so good. But within China, when the movie was on, I don't think she was also that recognizable. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the same time, Mulan has a sister now, and in the remake,
yes.
Does she also have a sister in the original story?
I think in the original story, yes, she had a sister. And then there were also other relatives, because in the original poem, after Mulan came home, all of her relatives and like little sister ran to see her and things like that. But in the Chinese culture, we also call our cousins sisters and brothers sometimes. So it can be a little confusing. I'm not sure if it's like actually her sister in the Western term.
But it adds to the story, of course.
It does.
When she decides to leave to join the army, she has to leave her sister as well.
Yes, leave her sister behind. And when she came home, I really like how they planted the story there. When she came home, her sister was with the matchmaker. And she was going to go down the path that Mulan was supposed to bring honor, glory to the family. And her sister was supposed to do that. And the sister was very happy because she found a man, a handsome man who's not afraid of spiders. And I felt like, oh, that's a cute little story to add there. Yeah, very realistic as well.
Before we started recording, you told me that in China, people who are separated, they are considered less interesting to get married.
Yes.
So even now, when someone, a matchmaker, tries to match people, when they hear people are divorced, it's an issue. What could have been the issue in Mulan? Why is she not a good match for anyone?
Oh, she was acting very macho, very manly in a way. Not that it's a bad thing, but if you really look at the traditional standard for choosing a good wife in China, you are not expected to go out and lift many heavy stuff like Mulan was doing. You're not supposed to run very fast. You're supposed to act very ladylike. And what Mulan did was that she's beautiful. That's not a problem. But she couldn't even make tea. She couldn't even do the most basic things that people would expect from their female partner. Then that's why Mulan was considered as a shame. But you see, it's also very interesting. She was considered a shame by the matchmaker, who is a woman herself, who is an older woman, which is a very accurate description of the problems. Because many men might say, oh, I love it when my partner is energetic. I love it when my woman is the way like Mulan is, right? But many older women would try to carry on with this standard with the next generation of younger women, and they will have actually stricter standards for women to follow. And that's why in their eyes, Mulan was not good enough.
And is it still like that?
In a way, yes, definitely. Maybe not so much in my city, but my family was also originally from a very small town in northern China. So when I go back home to visit my relatives who are still in a small town, I could see how they have a very different standard when they look at women. For example, me, I'm 27. For them, I'm like, oh my God, that is too old. What are you doing? You have two master's degrees? You're going to be single forever. Because women are not supposed to be that educated. Mm-hmm. You know too much, you know even more than the men, no one's going to want you.
But you're not single, so there's no no problem there.
For now, there's no problem. But they also say, oh yeah, but you have been dating for 5 years now. That means he doesn't want to marry you. because in the Chinese culture, it's like 2-3 years, that's already good enough. You're supposed to be married first, and that is the commitment. Mm-hmm. So they will use that as an argument against me. But back in my city, people are like, oh, you're only 27, that's fine. Just try to get married before you're 30 or 35. People these days, they have more choices. You can see how the generations are also changing, but very slowly, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel these differences even from Beijing when you moved to first Korea, then Belgium?
Yes, I definitely feel these differences. And when I was living in Korea, I didn't live in a big city. I think I just have a thing for smaller cities now because I grew up in such a huge mega city. I want to get closer to nature these days. So when I was in Korea, I lived in a pretty boring city, very boring city. It was voted as one of the most boring cities in Korea once.
There's a list.
Yes, there was a list. They made a list and then we won. It's called Daejeon and it doesn't really have much, also because I didn't live in the city center. And I could see how people were acting more traditionally, I would say, compared with people in Seoul and then compared with people in Beijing. You can really see the differences. It's very big. And then when I moved to Belgium, the difference is even more obvious. People here are kind of living without those social pressures, if I may say. You don't really care. Oh, you're together for 10 years without getting married? Good for you. You have a very good partner. Why not? They wouldn't really put those constraints on you like, oh, you're old. You should have a child. I've never really heard anyone say that yet. Maybe they're just very nice. I'm lucky to meet nice people. But I think it's a very common thing here.
Mm-hmm. But even then, you have a wonderful boyfriend. But if you ever decide to move to China, then things would be different?
Things would definitely be different, especially from my perspective when a lot of my family members are still very traditional. They will cut him some slacks. They have already said that because they know that he's from a different cultural background. They understand that he will have different values as us. But at the end of the day, we would still expect someone to try to learn a little bit more about the Chinese culture and how we considered to be love, considered to be commitment, that is different in different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm. Let's dig into the film again.
Yes.
I think Disney really tried to please not only the Chinese, but through the Chinese government. And I will explain it. They even sent a copy to the government of the scripts before filming it.
Wow.
Not to ask for permission, but to be sure that they were okay with it.
Wow.
And then it surprises me even more that there are still these mistakes.
Oh yeah, but even for a Chinese film or TV series that is completely created by Chinese people, we still might see some of these problems. That still happens. So that agency would definitely help you try to, you know, take away all the sensitive information or extremely inaccurate things. But for other parts, it is a film. At the end of the day, it is an art creation. I don't think they're going to be that strict in saying you need to make it look like a documentary. It needs to be historically 100% accurate. I don't think that would be a very good point.
Mm-hmm. They did change some things, because of course Mulan is fiction.
Yeah.
But some parts of the story are based on true events.
Yes.
And they changed something. So in the animated film, the enemy that invaded.
Yes.
Like this,
the Din China.
Yeah. And now they replace it with the Ruan.
Yeah. Actually, in the new made version, they also mentioned the Rorans, but they also brought in the new character of a witch. So that makes people feel like, oh, it's not actually those people. They're just, you know, being helped by some evil power. And then that's why it's happening, because it's also part of the discourse in China. Whenever we look at historically based films and movies, innovative anything, any creations, you will see that, oh, there's a war going on. We need to go and defend China. We need to go and defend our country. And who are they against? And people start looking it up. Wait, they're against us. We were not China back then because it was still a much smaller country. And then, oh, they were against people from Inner Mongolia. But now you are also part of China. And people have made jokes about that before. Like, oh my God, in the movie, my own country was fighting me. I was the barbarian. How could that happen? So maybe they also made changes then to appeal to the audiences who were originally from those areas and mm-hmm. who might feel like, oh, I'm excluded, I'm portrayed to be a very evil, bad person, but now I'm just, you know, one of you and I'm assisted by an evil witch, and that's the problem.
And that evil witch, is it like a thing in tradition or in culture?
Actually, the actress who played that character is also actually one of the best actresses, won so many international awards. And the Chinese name for that character is very different from how she was portrayed in the movie. Because the Chinese name is just saying that she is a lady who has special powers linked to nature, linked to the world. She can see the future. She has certain magic powers, but it's very positive. Mm-hmm. The way that she was portrayed in the movie, that was definitely not something that I would say is from the traditional culture. She just looked very scary, and that she would turn into a bird, which was not really a common occurrence in the culture, I would say. She looked very much like, you know, all the other witches who were in Disney movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, power changing.
I can see that, yeah. Yeah. I read that this actress, Gong Li, that she was the original inspiration for the character Mulan in the animated movie.
Oh, really?
So, apparently she's considered an ugly woman in China.
You know, a lot of people said I look like her when I was growing up. But yes, when people told me, oh, you look like her, they would follow by a sentence that you look very countryside-ish.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's another thing that people would give as a comment to some people, especially to younger women. Because the comments towards Gong Li's appearance changed a lot. When she was younger, people also said she's beautiful, but she doesn't look Western-like. There's a word for a lot of Asian people to describe someone beautiful, and that is if you are yangqi, if you have the aura, the feeling of a Westerner. So it's a very internalized racism type of situation, I would say. But Gong Li's appearance is definitely not considered to be like, oh, one of the most beautiful Chinese women, or like the exact beauty standard. Definitely not. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, more and more people are learning to appreciate her beauty, especially since she is aging so beautifully.
But it can be very hard, I can imagine, when you grow up with all these images and people are giving you names. It can be hard.
Yes, but, you know, if you're really just born into that situation and you grew up with it, you can actually got kind of desensitized at the end of the day. Like, oh, sure, you're saying that. Okay, I've heard worse. I've heard worse at home. But a lot of the times people are saying that as a, I would say, a very backhanded compliment type of situation. They will tell you, oh, you are beautiful in your own way. Maybe you can be a model somewhere else, but you're just not appreciated by the beauty standard here. Mm-hmm. So that's how they will usually say it. Yeah.
Wow. They try to be diplomatic.
Yes. Yeah. But if you really look at the message, they're just trying to tell you not good.
Yeah. Another big difference. Mulan doesn't cut her hair anymore.
Yes.
And I read that it's because for men, it's just normal to have longer hair.
That is true. That is very true. So in the traditional Chinese culture, everybody had long hair. They felt like your hair, your body, your fingernails, everything is from your parents. So you're not supposed to cut them without their permission. You're not supposed to destroy something that your parents gave you as a gift. That's also one of the reasons why I didn't cut my hair for 13 years when I was younger. It was very long when I walk on the street. People would step on my hair. It was very dangerous, and it was very unhealthy. I think I could have been a little bit taller if I didn't have my hair. But she didn't cut her hair. I understand why that decision was made. I understand it's actually a very logical consideration that men also have long hair. But they took away the part that Mulan was trying to make the decision to fight for her father. So in the animated version, cutting her hair was not the purpose of her just wanting to get a haircut. It was part of the very difficult monologue that she had to make this difficult decision to replace her father and get rid of her personal identity. So maybe they could have, you know, spent a little bit more time on how she was thinking. Because how did Mulan just got a horse? How did she just find, you know, all the fighting equipment? They're making it seem like Mulan just loves the war, like she has been preparing secretly. But in the original story, in the poetry, What happened was Mulan got up super early and she went to buy the stuff that men would use on their hair. So she didn't cut it, but she had to learn how to do the man kind of hair. Because we wouldn't just let our hair down. You need to actually tie it up in a certain way. So she had to do that. She had to go buy a horse at a different market. Had to buy something else at another market. That was the original story. And that was the part that I felt like could have been portrayed a little bit more to actually tell the story of why Mulan did what she did.
Because it's a very important, not only decision, but also counterpoint in the story.
Exactly. Yeah. How she changed her character. And that's the inspirational part. But now I felt like, oh, you just love the war. Okay, you have it prepared. Good job.
And she also lost her love interests.
Yes.
In the animated film, she was in love with her superior, yes. Li Chang.
Yes.
And now she falls in love with, like, an equal, another soldier.
Yeah, there was a little flirting going on, I would say. But at the end, he did come to say goodbye. That's true. He came to say goodbye. And then I really thought they were going to make it look like, oh, I'm going to go home. You're going to keep on being a soldier, but we will keep in touch. It's not like, I'm going to send you a message, but like, I will send you a letter, like they will keep in touch. But they didn't mention anything about that. For me, I think, you know what? Cool. They want to take away the romantic love kind of part. They don't want to be, you know, such a cliche when it comes to stories. Like women dressing up as men. Eventually, they will always fall in love with one of their friends. And then, I'm actually a woman. And then they will be together. Sure, I don't really have that much of an objection towards this. But I do feel like it was a little strange when Mulan, whenever she did something good. Like she did something amazing. She was doing so well as a soldier. Her superior will say, oh, you know what? After the war, I will introduce my girl to you. I will introduce my little girl to you. Then you still think romantic love or like getting married is a goal in that society back then. Then why wouldn't Mulan make that move? Because it did seem like she liked him. They were really good friends, no?
Yeah,
she looked jealous at a point. Like, oh my God, why are you treating me like this? Well, maybe, you know, maybe there's a second movie. I don't think so.
I think they wanted to have a sequel, but I don't believe it will ever happen.
Mulan's love story.
Interesting. Well, the main reason to get rid of Li Chang and the love story between them is because this script was written after the #MeToo movements. And they didn't want to have a romantic relationship between people who are in
different power dynamic. Yeah. Okay, I can understand. But I don't think it's going to be the end of the world if you try to give a positive example of how relationships can be developed.
That's also true.
Right? Yeah. Like, yeah, sure, you can have feelings for someone, but that doesn't mean you're going to act on it. You don't have to necessarily do a lot of things when you have the power dynamic difference, but afterwards, when you realize she's a woman and then she's also promoted because she's such a good soldier, maybe something could happen, but that's just me. You know?
And it's not because you are someone with power that you have to abuse it.
Exactly. Actually, it would be a much better thing to show how someone with power can regulate themselves and use it for good things, you know.
Yeah.
Not just evil powers.
We haven't seen those movies yet.
Yeah, not for a while.
No.
Only seeing evil people and genuinely kind superheroes killing the evil people. Maybe that's a new idea for some other filmmakers out there, you know.
You should tell it to your father.
Yeah, write that. Write it. I will act. No.
There was a lot of controversy with this film, not only in China, but also in the West. And it was because of something in the credits, in the end credits.
Do you know what it is? About this.
So they have a logo of a region, like some government that's funded, not only that they didn't only fund the movie, but they also facilitated to film there.
What is the region? I see. Yeah, but that's going to be a little controversial because, first of all, Xinjiang is a beautiful place. If you ever want to film anywhere with desert, with beautiful architectures, there is nowhere else you should go. Xinjiang is supposed to be the place that you go and film there because it's just amazing there. And I actually have family members in that city. And we have a lot of contact with people there, I understand where the misunderstanding will come from, especially nowadays on the Western internet. When I was going back to China as well, because I have my own channel, mm-hmm. I was vlogging and people asked me, can you go to Xinjiang? Can you show me how it actually looked like? Can you film it? And I said, no, because it's an 8-hour flight. It's very far away. I can't just show up there. You know, I have a different life somewhere else. But people are very sensitive about the situation that is going on in Xinjiang. But at the same time, for people who have actually been there, for people who live there on their own, the comments are totally different. I was told by my family and friends who are there that stop worrying. Don't listen to those reports. Don't listen to things that you don't see with your own eyes. If you want to see, come and look. And Xinjiang is also open for traveling. Mm-hmm. Right now for international guests, especially starting from this year. Also for Belgian people, you don't need a visa to go to China anymore. For short-term visit, I think around 10 or 12 days, then you can enter China visa-free.
Oh, wow.
Did you not know this?
No.
No, oh, you should go.
Because last time, it was really a pickle.
Yeah, of course.
Because I'm a journalist and I had to fill in all these forms. I had to pay a lot of money.
Now it's free.
And even now it's free.
It's
Woo!
Free. You just go with your passport. But it's only gonna be like this until November with a bunch of European countries. This is like a trial period.
Okay.
But if it goes well, in the future you can just go and do a short-term travel in China without visa. So China is also saying, you know what, if you want to see, come and see on your own, because no matter what we're gonna say, you're probably not gonna believe us. Mm-hmm. And I've also seen some misunderstanding in that area. For example, when I show people the photos of my old school, of me in my school, they think it's a camp because we all have to wear the same clothes. We all have to get the same haircut. And our school did look like a prison because it had metal bars.
Oh.
Yes, but for any buildings that are very tall for safety of the children, they will install those things. And for mm-hmm. us Chinese, it's like, oh yeah, it's normal. What if my cat just jump off of the window, you know? Oh, it's normal for my child to cut their hair because they're trying to study. Mm-hmm. We also have a very collective culture, and we don't feel like it's a horrible thing to look similar with other people. But in the Western eyes, it's going to be, oh my God, how can you take away such an important freedom from other people? Mm-hmm. But I feel like the fact that the movie was partially shot there is also a signal from the government saying to other people, look, this is what it looks like. Come and take a look. If you're interested in Mulan as a movie, you want to see where the evil witch flew away, come and see this. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's also why.
Yeah, and I can imagine on the other side that when you make this kind of movie, you just want to thank everyone involved.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just good manners
yeah, exactly.
to have like, it on the end credits.
They're thanking Xinjiang, right? So they're thanking everyone who is there, the citizens here. And in a lot of the narratives, people are upset because people in Xinjiang are not living the best life they should. Mm-hmm. But then why is it a problem to thank the people in Xinjiang? That is where I feel like people are not really thinking straight. Mm-hmm. If you want to thank them, let them live their life. Why are you upset that they are actually happy? Mm-hmm. They can be happy, you know?
Yeah,
why
of
not,
course.
Why not?
But of course, Disney, they should have known that people would look into this.
Yes, they definitely should have preemptively, mm-hmm. you know, at least prepare something when after the film is released, when people start reacting to it. And I can imagine people definitely mentioned boycotting, then you should already have materials prepared to disprove their judgments
yeah.
and say that how you actually win and helped with the local economy, how the people who were involved in the filming process also got more job opportunities. It's supposed to be a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there was a controversy because the main actress, Liu, she did some comments on the current events in Hong Kong, which was very controversial.
Yes, that was
about... Because
she
chose a side.
Yes, she chose the side.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in Western eyes, it's like pure evil then.
Yeah, but I felt like it was also very strange. So in many of the Western media, you are supposed to choose a side. If mm-hmm. you don't, people are going to constantly pressure you to say, hey, what is your side? What do you actually support? But at the end of the day, if you choose the wrong side, and this right and wrong is decided purely by the popular opinion. Mm-hmm. If they think it is right, you're supposed to always choose the right side. But they don't want to listen to your opinion, your experience, especially for the actress herself. She has been into different places. She has seen things that many of us wouldn't see with our own eyes, because I have never been there before. I've never been to Hong Kong. I don't know the situation myself. But if she went there and she felt like that is the stance that she wants to take, I don't see why we should really put her on such a position to say that you as a person don't get your own opinion across.
Yeah, of course. It's just sad that even Disney then almost got rid of her during the promotion of the film.
Yes.
She wasn't even invited to go to all these big press events just because of this one comment on social media.
I felt like that's such a big loss, mm-hmm. because many of us went to the cinema because of her. Many of us wants to see how she will portray Mulan, because there is such a big controversy in China about how the Western media will always choose the ugly Asian actresses. And it's also because sometimes the makeup artists don't know how to do makeup properly on Asian features. Mm-hmm. So it will make us look strange in the Chinese beauty standard. But finally, we have such a beautiful lady playing Mulan. We were so excited. And then she wasn't there. That was definitely a bit disappointing.
Yeah, yes. I can imagine. Did you see the film in a movie theater?
I actually saw it in a small movie theater when I was just out, because it was still during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw it again because I had Disney Plus.
Yeah. Because in Europe and in the US, the film wasn't released in theaters because of the pandemic, and Disney was postponing it, and then finally they decided to have it on Disney Plus as a, they called it a VIP package.
You had to pay extra
for it, and then it got a huge backlash from the movie theater industry, because they felt
robbing them of their opportunity. Yes, but that was just very unfortunate because of the pandemic. I think a lot of us now, our life is back to normal. Sometimes it's like a trauma response. We don't want to think about what happened before. We forgot how serious everything was. Mm-hmm. If you weren't even allowed to get close to your own family sometimes, it's going to be very hard for people to go into movie theaters.
Yeah, of course, of course. It was like almost like a war for us.
Yes, of course. I couldn't see my family for four years, almost 5 years. Everything was in lockdown. Then I think Disney would have lost even more money if they only published a film in theaters. Many people wouldn't dare to go.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want my neighbors to be sick, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And there was a huge backlash because of the changes to compared to the animated film, like what we said, Mushu, Li Chang, but also the music.
Yeah,
they got rid of the songs.
Reflection, yes.
there's a hint of Reflection. Yes. You have the melody.
There was the melody, the score. For sure. Yeah, but that wasn't really enough. But the main actress did do her version of Reflection. I've heard that song before. It was released on Chinese platforms. She did a performance of it, mm-hmm. but it wasn't included into the film.
And not even in the credits.
I saw it, but that could also be a problem, because when I watched it, the film was stopped after the film was ending.
Mm-hmm.
It was still in the pandemic. It's done. People wanted to get out of there. Maybe that's why. But sure, the Reflection could have been a much bigger part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, like, they didn't want to show the exact human version of how she would do the reflection and make that decision. But you can still play the music when she's writing her way into the field, you know? That would have been an interesting ad, I would say. But that seems like to be the thing that they do when they remake movies these days.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was watching like the Super Mario movie, I also didn't hear any music that's Super Mario-like. It's all just new music.
Hmm. Yeah, and it's very weird, because other remakes from Disney, they still use the same songs. Like in the Jungle
Mermaid
Book,
well.
The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, they still use the songs. They had one new song, Loyal, Brave, True.
Like the thing on the sword.
Yeah.
Yes, but they should have actually explained a little bit more about the sword as well. As a Chinese speaker, I saw the character. I was like, okay, I understand what it means. But for someone who doesn't understand it, they would mm-hmm. just see the translation. But the one word translation is not really enough to capture the spirit of it. You know, they could have said a little bit more, I think.
Mm-hmm. she got a new sword. So
yes,
that's a thing.
The
sword, the family sword is a new thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But the one she got from the Emperor at the end is modeled after the one in the animated film.
Yes, that's true. That's something that I
but
like.
Not
like,
to
oh,
the
yeah.
to the film. And they also named one of the soldiers Creaky.
Creaky.
Because there was a cricket in the animated film.
That was a very good touch. That was a bit of a weird name for a man, but
yeah.
A cute nickname. Yes.
Yeah. Even in Chinese it's a weird name. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that, yeah. Yes. But you know, I also speak English, so sometimes when I hear a name, my reaction is naturally to whichever language it applies to, then
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most of the main characters, I must say most of the main actors, mm-hmm. they took the same role for the dub, for the Chinese
yes.
or the Mandarin dub.
Yes.
That's very nice, I think.
Yes, I tried to watch the Chinese version, actually. I wanted to see how it would flow, but it felt kind of strange. Because if the film was in English, I could always give the excuse like, oh, this is a Disney movie. Mm-hmm. It's done by people outside of China. It's okay if it's not accurate. But when they start speaking Chinese and the king just sits there like that, and then how the people who are supposed to work for the king just stand there casually talking to him without much respect, I just felt like, oh my God, is this, I don't know, cosplaying the kingdom? It feels a little bit like that. So I sticked with the English version at the end.
Is it a big thing in China to have foreign films dubbed, or do they also screen them with subtitles?
I think for children's films, if that film is made like targeting children, they will give you the option to have it dubbed, but mm-hmm. you can choose to go to the English version as well. But most of the foreign films will only have like a Chinese subtitle at the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I also read that the name Mulan isn't properly set in film. You have to pronounce it different.
Mulan. This is how you should pronounce it. Yeah.
Okay.
Mulan.
Mulan.
Yeah.
And in English they say
Mulan.
Mulan. Yeah.
Yes, because we have different intonations. So it's supposed to be Mulan. And just like the dragon, Mushu, I always have trouble saying this name because it's supposed to be Mushu. It's, yes,
oh, wow.
It's different. Many things are different. So I also felt a little bit strange because they're supposed to be portraying people who do that. But sure, it's an English movie. Yeah, they pronounce it the English way. I get it. That's fine.
I think when Disney tries to please not only the Chinese people, but also the government, let's face it, why didn't they make just a film in Chinese?
That's a very good question. But maybe that would be way too difficult for the directors as well, because they do need to monitor how the lines are delivered, how the things are done. Maybe they still want a big piece from different markets, because Mulan is such a big hit in mm-hmm. North America, in Europe, it would be a little bit unreasonable to give it up. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, but they could have just, like, they have this all Chinese cast. They could have had a Chinese director as well.
That is very true. But then maybe that would be too Chinese at the end. I'm not so sure about that.
Because it's really a thing for this company. When they opened Shanghai Disneyland, mm-hmm. they wanted to have something that is typically Disney, but also very authentic Chinese. It's very different. I don't know if you have been there.
No, I really want to go, though. But too many people.
Yeah.
Very, very busy.
Yeah. But it's totally different than Disneyland in Europe, even in
well.
Tokyo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they really did some changes. And there's a very, I think, very charming nod to Shanghai Disneyland in Mulan. The opening, when you see the Disney castle.
Yeah, it's the...
It's the castle of Shanghai Disneyland and not the logo castle.
No, that's very nice. I really, really love that. But I can also feel like during the film, I could see how they were trying to add in Chinese elements, or I would say Oriental elements at this point. And at one point, I felt like, oh, is this what I learned about in school when they talked about Orientalism? Like, they felt like it's so fantastic, it's so mysterious to a way that no one can possibly explain this. And that's what I felt like when they added certain things into the movie, because it felt like a scramble of different elements of Asian culture that just suddenly appeared into the movie.
Can you give one example of it?
For example, when the opening scene, when the father was, I wouldn't say fighting, but practicing with Mulan mm-hmm. on the field, and how like people were living in the wrong building and how people were communicating to each other. That was just so typically Chinese, but also not at the same time. And the points where they were trying to make the king seems very serious, and then they created a throne for him to sit up there, and all the people who worked for him was just down there chatting. When the main person was reporting to the king, I just felt like, wow, so you're trying to make him sound mysterious, but you're not actually following the rules, because they're supposed to be kneeling down, mm-hmm. they're supposed to be quiet, and they're supposed to go away. So those are the type of things that I felt like, oh, you want to add into the element, but you don't care enough to actually learn about how they should do. And also when the workers left the palace, so there was a very beautiful road that he took.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to be the decoration. He was not supposed to walk on that.
Okay.
So, yes, if you look at how he acted at the palace, he was supposed to walk on the stairs, but not on the beautiful decoration with the flowers and stuff. That's just decoration. It's there. If you actually walk on that in real life, you're going to break your neck. You're supposed to take the stairs.
And I can imagine it's also very offending if you do it.
Yes, very offending, because those decorations have their specific meanings. It's an offering to the god. And it's not just any specific god. We have this idea of the sky being the god.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be an offering. It's showing respect to your king. And then he just walked on it.
My God.
Yeah, so in a way, yeah. Oh my God, so mysterious. It looks so Chinese. Oh, so nice. I really want to look at it. But if you really look at it, it's like, get off. Please don't do this. The king is going to cut your head off.
Do they still do that? No. No. But in the end, do you consider this a good movie?
If I really have to look at it as a remake of the Mulan movie, then it's definitely not. Because the comparison seems too good now.
Mm-hmm.
But if I look at it as a separate movie, and let's assume I knew nothing about the character of Mulan. I had no idea who she was and what she was intending to do. If I don't have that much knowledge of the Chinese culture, I would say, oh, it's pretty good. Maybe it's the beginning of a super movie, you know, like superhuman.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's supposed to bring her chi into something else in the future.
And she will join the Avengers eventually.
Yes, exactly. And then she will be the new Asian representative.
Yeah.
Bring the chi.
Well, I just remember that Nikki Carrow, the director, explained it that she wanted to make an action movie for children. So with all the elements of a true action movie, with real fights, but when it gets bloody and nasty, then they will cut it.
Replace it with, yeah. Oh, I see what she meant. Ah, maybe that makes a little bit more sense, because the witch who can turn into a bird and seemed so powerful, all of a sudden lost all her power and was just shot down and died in Mulan's arms. And I was thinking, oh my God, this feels like a child's movie, you know?
Mm-hmm,
like the good people always win, and somehow magically they would just beat the evil person. Now it makes sense. Now I can see why.
You mentioned before that you have Disney Plus.
Yes.
Do you watch Disney movies a lot, or is it just when it comes by?
Nowadays I watch a lot of Disney movies because I'm quite bored. Especially when I'm like yarning, crocheting, and I just love putting an old movie on. I feel like it's also because I'm getting old. My acceptance to new things are really dropping.
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch something that I've already watched before, nostalgia, watch that and remember the good old days when I was still a child, you know? Yeah.
But can you watch like things you remember from your childhood? Can you watch them easily here in Belgium?
Yes, definitely. But also because I speak Chinese and I have access to a lot of things on the Chinese internet,
mm-hmm.
then I can still see it a lot.
The Chinese internet, what do you mean by it?
You know that we need a VPN.
Yeah?
You also need a VPN to get into China.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but there are websites, for example, for C-dramas. There are websites that make it available, but those are selected ones,
mm-hmm.
that they decide to be a good project and they translate that in English and post it on YouTube or a very special website. But some of my family members are still actively acting. They are C-drama actors,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to see my own cousin acting. So what do? I need to get a VPN to go back into my country to find the resources and save it, and then I can watch it.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. It's complicated, but you can do it.
Thanks to
technology and the internet.
Thank God.
Speaking about the internet, you're very popular these days on Instagram.
Yes, I didn't expect that, actually. It's very surprising.
But I think it started when you were making reels about things that are different in Belgium.
Yes.
Not as such to mock with it, but to compare it.
Just like a simple comparison, because I actually really hate how people are describing the Belgian society. I feel like a lot of my fellow, I would call us new migrants, new immigrants, don't have enough respect for the Belgian society and the people here. This might sound harsh, but I felt like people need to start looking at Belgium with a different way, with a more, at least, neutral standpoint when they look at the society. And that's also because I have lived in other places as a foreigner. Then I can compare my life in those places with my life here in Belgium. Then I can say with full confidence, if you go to any country and then you refuse to know about their culture, you refuse to learn how to say hello in their language, no one is going to be happy. And that was the key point of why I wanted to make those videos and show people the real cute little differences between our lives and how the Belgian community, especially the Flemish community, functions. Because such an amazing group of people, so friendly and funny, but you need to initiate the conversation. You need to start.
That's true, yeah. What's your favorite word?
My favorite word?
Yes.
In Dutch?
Yeah.
Zalig.
Yeah, I can relate.
Yeah, especially when I'm like petting my cat and my cat goes, ooh, and
she's purring.
Yeah.
Well, Sylvia, thank you so much for joining me. It was very, very interesting. And I remember that you don't think it's a, it's not the best movie, but it's okay.
It's not the worst, definitely.
But your father hated it.
Yes. He didn't necessarily love it, no. But he has watched a lot more movies than I do, and then he's also a professional in this field. So when he looks at how the story is told, he needs the logic. So if he feels like, oh, this is not logical, he wouldn't recommend this to me. But he did like the CGIs. He told me, when they fight, pretty chill. The Phoenix was cool.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It was zalig.
Yeah, zalig.
Mail al je vragen of opmerkingen naar robin@robinbroos.be of post ze onder de hashtag Disney Klassiekers.